Good. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about Father's Day started, I guess, 1910. I looked up online. It was unofficial, but somebody started celebrating it in 1910. It didn't become official until I think it was Nixon. Yeah, 19 something. Yeah, 72, I think it was. So everybody before that, I think sometimes I think all of these days are just so the stores can make a little bit more money. Just about every one of these holidays, you know. But it's a nice thing to think about. And I want to take you. And I was thinking about this since I realized it was Father's Day yesterday. And I was thinking about our Father, our Heavenly Father, the characteristics that He has. First of all, I think it's real obvious He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the whole universe. And our Father simply spoke it into being. He willed it to be. That's what the title Elohim means. He who wills to be. He had the power, the authority, the wisdom, the excellence to just be able to speak into existence the universe in which we live. He said, "Let there be light." I remember how much that turned me on when I started to think about it, way back when I started. He could just speak, and it was. He gives us a lot of words in His Word. Every single one of them's got the same power. He's not a God who can lie. Another one of His characteristics. You know, He's not a liar. Every word that He has ever spoken shall come to pass. May not be exactly like the kingdom is coming. When the Lord comes, it will come to pass. Just hasn't shown up yet. Every single thing He says, it can't be moved, it can't be blotted out, can't be marginalized, none of it. And I was thinking about Him also, and He's got integrity because everything that He says will come to pass. He's caring, He's forgiving, He's just. He's powerful, He's the provider. He protects especially those that are defenseless, the widows and the orphans. He says, "I am their God, and I will take care of them." These are all like beautiful, beautiful qualities. And we as dads here, as believers, we endeavor to follow His steps. We endeavor to walk in His ways. We endeavor to emulate, who He is. Yeah, He wants us, I think Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Be as your Father is in heaven." So we're going to go here to Deuteronomy first. I thought this would be fun. And interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy is 30 days or so before they walk into the promised land. And God reiterates the things that He wants them to know, to understand. Chapter 6. In verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Yahweh our Elohim, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign about thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy gate. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and homes full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dug which you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. And when thou hast eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. God has gave his people his word, and he gives them instruction. You do it. Love me. Do this. I have blessed you. I've given you all these things. And then as you do it and as you go, teach everything to your kids and keep teaching them and teaching them all the time. You bring the word of God to their hearts all the time. And the reason we need to hear things multiple times. I think we all have a brain that, it's like a sieve. The thought goes in one place and it just goes away someplace else. Even the things that are most important sometimes to us, we all of a sudden the priority is not at the top of the list. We take things for granted. Other things move in. Other thoughts take preeminence. Other emotions or problems, anything. And it pushes the most important things away or to the side. They're not forgotten completely, but they're just not priorities anymore. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is the woman I married. What's the greatest gift I have? Or these are my family, my children. And all of a sudden the problem at work isn't so big anymore. The other things that come up in life. Sometimes the scripture brings clarity to what's really important. We sang that song, I Will Not Be Afraid. That song was written by a man who was a missionary in China, and he had thousands of people who believed on Christ. And during the Cultural Revolution, when Mao was killing everybody, he was killing the teachers, he was killing the artists, he was killing everybody to get rid of Chinese culture. The whole point was to wipe the slate clean so communism could rule. So you had to get rid of the old culture. You had to get rid of the family, you had to get rid of the whole thing. Similar to what goes on today when you want big changes. You gotta make dirty everything that was. And then they were all marching, trying to get out or trying to go south in China to get on the boats and make it to Taiwan and make it to other places. And they'd sing this song. They'd sing that song as they went. I won't be afraid because you're You got your arms about me. You undergird me. And that's how you got to live your life with the Lord. But that was just a little side note. But God wants, he has always told us to discipline ourselves. And as fathers, we are to lead our children. We are to teach them, guide them, you know, make them happen. And have a discipline about this. Go to chapter 8 for a second. Hey, Kenny. Chapter 8, verse 5, Deuteronomy. And thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. A father is supposed to discipline his sons and his daughters, but mostly his sons. The big lion is to keep the little lions in check so they don't run over mama. And, you know, it gives them a sense of this is how it's done. This is the way things should be. But as a man chasteneth or disciplines his son, so the Lord God chasteneth and disciplines you. And part of the great responsibility of a father, part of that great responsibility. Because if there isn't any, then all you have is anarchy, really, in a household. All you have is anarchy on the streets. You know. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Just one thing to consider as you look through it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't despise his discipline, and don't quit, because you are disciplined. For whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines, and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure this discipline, chastising, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens or doesn't discipline? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You don't, in other words, you aren't in the family. And it's not because God quit. It's because you won't take the discipline. God never quits. We're going to really see that here in a minute. Your father will never, ever leave you. He will never, ever quit on you. He will never, ever abandon you. Period. That's his word. Just like, let there be light. But if you quit on him, you walk away, then you are a fatherless child. All on your own. You decided that. You're a bastard. Boy, that's not a nice word to say. It's written in the Bible, baby. It's the way it is, okay? Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? I mean, we gave our, I mean, you know, some of us had not so great dads. Some of us had wonderful ones. But the point was, we all gave them reverence. You know, you had to listen to them. How much more God Almighty, the Father of everything, the Father of spirits, it says here, and live. For they verily for a few days they disciplined us after their own pleasure, because they wanted to, and it was also for their benefit. Hey, kids, be quiet. I want to watch TV. Be quiet. Go outside and play. You know, they did it for their own pleasure. But He, God Almighty, has always disciplined us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He wants us to be like Him, wants us to walk like Him, wants us to prosper. Now, no chastening or discipline for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Therefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knee, and make straight for your feet, straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God gives us His word. He has given us this discipline. Discipline doesn't always feel good. You know, it holds you in. It, you know, if you thought about this, the book that you're looking at, it's got margins, right? Well, the margins, we are to live inside the margins of what it says here. If you go outside of it, you're going to get hurt. It's not going to go well, not for you or anyone else around you. You know, it's like every part of our life has a discipline. There's a discipline in driving a car. There are rules to the road. The rules to the road keep everybody safe. We drive on this side of the road, not on the other side. We stop at the stop sign. It keeps you, when the other guy does it, it keeps you safe. When you do it, it keeps him safe. It's not fun to have to step every 50 feet. You got another stop sign. Some of these blocks are ridiculous. All right? It's not that fun, and everybody wants to push the limit. You know, let's roll through this one, roll through that one. But it can catch up with you. And really, when it comes down to it, it's not worth it. But it is our nature to keep pushing things. An army, if it's not disciplined, what is it? It's a mob. Yeah? It's got no discipline, it's a mob. An army of individuals who've been trained and follow orders and everything, it's got order to it, it's got purpose to it. And it can defeat any mob. Because they work as one. So, you know, these are truths that we see in our life, we see all the time in life. These are things that God has ordained from the beginning. But think about it this way. The Father has said to us, teach the word to your kids. Teach the word to the younger generation coming up. And discipline yourself. And if you don't discipline yourself to do it, then you're just a hypocrite, and the kid can figure that out. You know, it's like, hey, you go to, my father used, hey, go to church on Sunday. You coming? No. I mean, so, again, you know, do as I say, not as I do, doesn't work. It's bad example. It's makes you the hypocrite instead of the, makes you that hypocrite instead of the, Oh, instead of the one that your kid wants to emulate. The example. So, very important, wonderful things. And obviously, dads ain't perfect. We ain't. So, I mean, a smart fella understands that. Smart young men understand that. And if they don't understand it at the beginning, they understand it later on. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to make a point here. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, this is talking about what God has done and what He wanted. It says, He's having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Almighty God wants you. He adopted you. He sought you. He saw what he was getting. I mean, when you get a little baby, you know, they come out. You didn't exactly know what it was that was coming, but you knew it was little. And you don't know what this kid's attitude's going to be as life goes on. You don't know exactly how obedient they'll be as life goes on. You don't know a lot of things about an infant when it first shows up. It's all good, but you got no idea how this is going to turn out. You know, Cain or Abel. You know, your every parent's got nothing but dream. I have gotten the man from the Lord, Eve said. This is going to be the greatest blessing of life. Turned out to be the first murderer. I got no control at, you know, past a certain point in life. And God forbid that we should think this way, because I never did. My kids were perfect. Everybody else was the problem, not my guys. I just thought the best of them. Always did. I knew. I knew as time went by, well, they're going to be tempted to do this. They're going to be tempted to do that. But just like me, so I remember what I did. It's not unusual, you know. And I don't want to get off track, but my point here in Ephesians is that you were chosen. He knew he was getting people who were dead in trespasses and sins. He knew that he was getting damaged goods. So he made a way because he wanted you. He made a way. He sent his son and died, and he told everybody before he came and after he came, I have sent him to pay the price for you so that you can be with me in eternity. And if you believe on what he did, if you accept the substitution offering that he gave, that he died for you on the cross, I want you to be my child forever. So you can be holy and without blame, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have everything, because I want a family of children that want me. He adopted us. Christ was the only begotten Son. The rest of us, he included, he adopted. Go to Luke 15. The parable of the forgiving father, most people call it the prodigal son. It's really about the forgiving father. A father who loves. A father who is like our heavenly father. This is a story. Remember, parables. These are you could relate to this in the census realm. You could see this happen very, very easily in the census realm, the story. And it holds very true, but it's spiritually absolutely true. And again, the one thing I want you to understand about parables, because I've read it a number of different sermons on this thing, and the guys take different points and then they go off in different directions. A parable's got a main point. The main point in these three parables, which are booked one after the other, actually there's four or five, but we're going to stay within the first three I'm going to touch upon. And the forgiving father I'm going to spend more time on. It's about God's heart for those who are lost. It's about the sinners that God wants back. It's about how precious and how excited he is to have them. And he starts in chapter 15 with this parable, and he's speaking to the people in front of him, which are scribes and Pharisees, and he's also got his disciples there. But he speaks to them specifically as you read this thing, so you know which part you get. Okay? So in chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "And he drew near unto him to the publicans and to the sinners," those are the first category, "for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them." God forbid. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," now he's got both groups in front of him, right? Sinners, but he's got the Pharisees were named last. So this really refers back to the Pharisees, most of them. Most directly. It says, and then he gives them the parable of the lost sheep. Now, just for time's sake, guy's got 100 sheep, loses one, leaves the 99, goes finds the one. And they rejoice in heaven. So it is that when there's one soul found, all the angels of God rejoice in heaven. Then he talks about there's a woman who has a 10 pieces of silver. And those pieces of silver, you can see it sometimes in Indian and Middle Eastern, where they have these jewelry, they're band around the head. I was watching a lady dressed in a sari, and she had these coins. It was her wedding, and they were like coins. They're not the most valuable piece of jewelry in the world. They're just pieces of silver. But they're heirlooms in the family. One bride wears it to the next, and the mother gives it to the daughter, and so forth. And it's an heirloom. And if you lost one of the pieces, it would be a tremendous hurt, disgrace, everything. So she cleans everything. She's looking for this thing. She's ripping the house apart. And then when she finds it, she runs out to her friends and neighbors. "I found the piece." And everybody's happy. And it's just like that when one sinner turns back to God and is found. Then we're going to verse 11 here. And he says, "A certain man has two sons." Now, this is one after the other. It's about finding the lost. And heaven rejoices. That's the subject. Don't change the subject for this next parable. "And he had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them, the two of them, his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. This is like, think about this. First of all, the young son goes up to dad and says, give me my inheritance now. You're not dead yet, but I need it now. And this wouldn't be too out of order, except for the younger one comes first. Because remember, there's no such thing as Social Security. So what you do is you build your business with your family. And you got the oldest son, and in that culture, he gets two-thirds, at least. But with that two-thirds, he gets the responsibility of taking care of mom and dad. And still stay with them on the property. But the business is turned over to the eldest son. The second, or third, or fourth, they get a much smaller portion. So the younger one says, hey, there's nothing in it for me to hang around here. Give me my end, and, let me do what I want. Now, you could say a lot of things about this kid. Respect is not a great one, you know. But I want you to remember, this is about the lost. This is about God's attitude towards the lost. And he takes his father's wealth. The father built this. The father saved this. The father put it and made it so that they would have something. You got people who spend every dime that they take in. They got nothing. But this guy provided. And when he asked, he gave it to him. And he gave it to both of them. Okay, you want to do this now? It's time for me to take my hands off the reins, give it to you, to my older son, and then to you too. Now, it didn't say, give it to me because I want to waste it. He just said, give me what my portion. Then the kid decided to go out and waste it, okay, with riotous living. So the father didn't give permission to go screw up. He just did what the kid, and then the kid later on decided to screw up. He gets out there. It doesn't take long. You know, it takes 100 years to grow an oak tree to a certain size. It takes about an hour to chop it down and kill it and destroy it. It can take a lifetime to accumulate something and about 10 minutes to gamble it away. So, there we go. He went, he spent it all, and he ended up in a place where there's a famine. He went to one of the folks out in that particular part of the country, and the guy says, all right, you go feed my pigs and you eat their food. You can stay over there. Now, this is a Jew. First of all, Jews don't raise pigs, so this is an unbeliever, a Gentile. Second of all, you don't mess with pigs, you don't touch pigs, they're unclean. This guy's really gone all the way downhill. That's the point. You can't get any further downhill and any further disrespected of yourself and from everybody else than where this young man is. And then he finally comes to himself. So he goes, he joined himself, he's feeding. It says in 16, it says, and he would have feigned, having filled his belly with the husk of the swine, and he did eat, and no man gave unto him. They treated him like an animal. And when he had come to himself, and this is the whole thing, God can't make you come back. But when you come to yourself, when you stop, and like I said, you know, those thoughts go away, and all of a sudden, all that you once upon a time had, I don't care. I'm just going to take what I got and do what I want to do. And then you go ahead and do it. And then all of a sudden, you're out in the middle of the pig field eating the pig's food. And you got a little time to think and realize, what am I doing here? And he says, when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat, to spare, and I perish with hunger? And then he makes the plan. I will arise, and I will go to my father and say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, just make me one. He's not he couldn't possibly believe that the old man had taken him back. I mean, the best, just make me, give me a job and treat me like the servants. I'll have something to eat. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Compassion. The father is always looking for the return of the child. Doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter how young they are. His heart is always for his kid. This is a picture of Almighty God's heart toward you who are living with the swine. This is what, just come to yourself. Just figure it out. You don't even have to be that bright. Just come to yourself and think. God Almighty sent his son to die for me, and I'm living in all of this pig squalor in my life, and it ain't going so well. Just come back. You know, I mean, what this young man said is something that you ought to consider. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Forgive me. Confess your sin. Humble yourself before him and change your stupid attitude. Because I don't care how far down you've gone. I don't care what sin you have done. I don't care how much you've eaten of the slop and how you smell. God's attitude towards you is just like it's pictured. Jesus Christ has given you a picture. The other two, heaven, they rejoice when one sinner is found. Well, this is what one sinner looks like. So you get 21. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he didn't even let him finish the line. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, lest us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is what God's heart and attitude towards a lost son, a lost child. You go from stupid to treasured. Imagine this then, just for the sinner, right? For the sinner. You gotta not only read the words, but you gotta start to acknowledge and think deeply about the transition here. You just went from eating pig slop and starving to honored. Robes and rings and shoes and plenty to eat in a moment. That's how the transition is with the Lord. You got to believe it. Most men don't even allow them. See, you know, oh, I'm too evil, I'm too screwed up for God to really even help. I've heard that from so many stupid people. God is so much bigger than you. God is so much more powerful than you, so much more compassionate than you can comprehend, so much more loving. He is giving you the picture. Do you accept it? Because this is who you are. You are now royalty in his heart and mind. You are, my son was, now he's, let's make merry. I want to have a party. There's no evil thought. There's no residue. This is a father, much better one than I've ever been. This is something to shoot for, huh? You know, I'm thinking about Father's Day, us. But this is what our Father is like. Jesus is painting the picture that God wants every one of us to know about him. So, verse 24, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Just rejoicing. For all those that are lost, the sheep, the coin, just rejoicing. There's no downside to this. You know, you go out and you screw up your day with God, and you come back and say, Father, I am sorry. There's rejoicing It's not like, okay, I'll give you another chance until you screw up the next time. That's the way you and I think. We are not that righteous or compassionate. We got, no, with the Father, let me put a robe on you, kid. Let me give you the signet ring to the family. Yeah, I just love this record. And, you know, the older son, again, just like the Pharisees were, you're going to hang out with this sinner? Gives us the picture of him and how the Father deals with him. You know, there was two groups, right? The sinners and the Pharisees when we started this. So, again, these two kids, we got the one kid, the sinner. Not hard to see that he's in that category, right? And then you got the Pharisees, the real religious, I always did it right kind of guys. But he's just as screwed up as the other kid. So just, we'll go over this. It says, and the elder son, verse 25, now the elder son was in the field. And when he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called unto one of the servants and asked, what these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, and because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. The older kid, the pharisaical kind of kid, angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. The father's seeking this kid too. He's hard-hearted, religious kind of, come on. And he tells him the whole thing. And answers and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, not my brother, but thy son is come, which thou devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You are royalty too. You got the ring on your finger, kid. That was meat. It was necessary that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. It's necessary. Not optional. One kid, the sinner, riotous living. The other one, goody two-shoes, I'm always doing everything right, and I'm angry at him because you're treating him so good. You're forgiving him. You're giving him a fatted calf. You're making merry with this sinner. Why would you want to even be part of his life? Just get rid of him. Let them go out with the trash. That's how people think, right? That's how churches think. In our society. Everybody in my church stinks. They're all sinners. Including the pastor. There's none better than any other. We were all lost. And we're found. Let rejoice and be merry. Have a little compassion. People who fall on their face. Don't be like the Pharisees. You're a sinner. I want nothing to do with you. Oh, look. Jesus is hanging out with sinners. Praise the Lord, huh? Be a hard-hearted freaking Pharisee. The second son was just as lost as the first. He missed the point. He didn't know who his father was. And the father sought the one and he went out to get the other. Your father, your heavenly father, the one who sent his only begotten son to die for you, he seeks you. Every day. There are moments in our day we don't even have God in our thoughts. We're too busy doing our thing. He's always seeking us. This Father loves his people. That's what I wanted to share with you today.